So a full week of voting in southern Sudan continues. We've been covering it all week. Polls closed Saturday. Estimated 4 million voters deciding on whether or not the South should divide from the North. The people of southern Sudan, as we've heard all this week, are erupting into song more often than erupting into violence as the voting continues. But for so many, this vote is the last battle in a very long war for Sudanese who know battle and can see the scars of it in themselves. This morning, the war's scars and memories in a duet of voices, one old, one young. Takeaway producer Noel King, who is in southern Sudan, has the story. Good morning, Noel.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Celeste.
You've heard these voices and I think are in a position to have witnessed many of these scars. Tell us about them.
That's right. I've spent the week talking to people young and old, and I want to introduce you to a few of them. Let's start with Daniel Coat. This is a man who's in his mid-70s. He spent 50 years of fighting for independence. And listen while he talks about the first time he was shot.
I was shot in combat by a Sudanese soldier. That was in 1964 in Nasser area. My firstborn, Emmanuel, he was shot in Torit during the reconquest of Torit by the Sudanese army.
What did you think about Emmanuel fighting? What did you think about your children fighting? Was there part of you that just wanted to say, don't stay here, don't fight, go overseas?
It's a sacrifice for our country. If we fight, we die, we become martyrs. So it didn't matter whether my son or somebody's son. What about the other people's children? Are they not the same with my children? If they are grown up and they are able to fight, they can fight. If they die, okay. If I died, okay. It's for my country.
That sense of sacrifice is palpable there.
That's right. And Daniel Coat told me that his family, his children, ended up scattered all over the world. Take a listen to this.
My family is completely scattered. I have 14 children. One is in America. Two are in Australia. One is in Egypt. Seven are in Sweden. And three are in Ethiopia with their mother. Thank God they are all alive today.
Scattered by the winds of war. You know, some of the people have spoken not only of the tyranny of the North, but of colonial rule as well.
That's right. This is an area that has been under the control of other people for a very, very, very long time. And the memories of British colonial rule are more fresh than you might think. Listen to Daniel Coat again here.
We were coming home for holidays in the boat, and there were some Europeans, young European tourists. They began to photograph girls in a dock. You see, that time, girls were going naked. So they begin to photograph their private parts. We took the cameras and threw them into the river. So when we arrived in Malakal, we were all arrested. 25 lashes, I was given 25. 25 this side, 25 this side. I was a very young boy then. So that really made me very bitter with the British again.
So you can hear that loss of dignity in the voice of that elderly war veteran and voter. He's voting, right?
That's right. He did a first day.
And for the younger people, though, I imagine the memories are probably just as fresh, but more about fear.
That's right. That's right. In fact, I spoke to a young woman, Nidal William, who's 23 years old. She and her family had the experience of walking from Sudan to Ethiopia, back through Sudan and into Kenya, fleeing the war. Listen to what she had to say about her memories of walking from Ethiopia into Kenya and the fear she faced there.
I definitely remember a period where we were constantly being bombed by the Antonov. So they'll come and they'll drop bombs. And in our house, we had a pole that was dug. At that young age, we remember, you know, we were told that if the Antonov come, we just run to the hole and hide there. So we were so used to the voice of the Antonov that we actually, as kids, we were the one who were telling the parents that, oh, an Antonov is coming. I know. And I remember one day we were taking tea in the morning. It was on a Sunday. The Antonov came. And we just, I remember us leaving our tea at the door and all running to the hole so that we can go and hide. And then we'll come out later when the Antonov is finished.
It almost sounds like a game. The Antonov, of course, is Soviet-era aircraft she's referring to there, right?
That's right. And for Nidal, you know, she spent an amazing 10 years of her childhood in a refugee camp, an enormous sprawling refugee camp in Kenya called Kakuma. Take a listen to this, John, Celeste.
Death had become so much part of life that it wasn't surprising to know that someone had died yesterday, you know, and people were so skinny, everyone was so skinny, and, you know, the life was sucked out of them by this the situation. There's never enough food, there's never enough medication. You went to the hospital, you were prescribed, you know, paracetamol for almost all conditions because there wasn't much medication around.
You know, and one of the striking things, Noel, and Celeste and I have been talking about this all week, is how generational this is. This passes from father to son, father to daughter. You witnessed that everywhere you went.
That's right. And it's funny, you heard Daniel Coat talk about his son, and he was very pragmatic and said, if other kids were going to fight, my kid was going to fight too. Nidal William actually lost her father. He was a rebel commander. He died in 1996. And in some ways, you know, she misses him very much, but she says, you know, my dad was assigned to fight and he fought. Listen to her talk about her father here.
My father was always in the bush. He was one of those people that, you know, was not only just a person in command, but also, I think, in his own way, commanded himself. So he was always at the front line with his soldiers. So we never got to see him because he was extremely hands-on. I remember that he would come and visit us, and he would still be so busy attending meetings between, you know, the different soldiers and different commands and things like that. So, however, he was a very loving father. He was never a soldier when he was home. He was a father. And, you know, I remember mornings when we used to go and jump in his bed, and he would laugh with us. But to say that I know my father, I cannot say that I know him.
So all of these voices, Nidal William, of course, younger, Daniel Coat, who we met earlier, older, each one of these is a young visionary, a young Democrat in a sense. But with so many war scars, do you think these people have what it takes to actually build a new country once this is all over?
Look, Southern Sudan is going to face tremendous challenges to begin with. You know, the country is going to be very poor and it's going to be wracked by its own internal divisions. But if you listen to these young people and you listen to some of the older folks as well, they have been through so, so, so much and they have made it to this point. If anybody is up to the challenge, I think they are.
Takeaway producer Noel King filing for us on the historic vote in Southern Sudan. On whether to separate from the North. Noel, thanks so much for all of your great work this week. That Sudanese election song, part of the soundtrack we've heard all week in our coverage from the historic voting taking place in Southern Sudan.